To be considered spineless is an insult. Worms and insects are spineless. For many biologists, however, these are the very best of the animal world. Yet the invertebrates get no respect. They're usually well down the list of species given protection from extinction. As part of a year-long series on endangered species, NPR's Christopher Joyce reports on a campaign to give the spineless their due.
Peter Nazkrecki grew up in Poland, but his heart is in the Costa Rican rainforest, or at least his ears are.
What we just heard is the rhinoceros killed it. It's actually a beautiful animal. It's a vicious predator. It has a very loud, vibrant sound. So if you hear something really loud in the rainforest, chances are that the insect that's producing that sound will be very spiky and kind of inedible.
The rhino katydid is, in fact, as spiky as a punk hairdo to discourage hungry bats drawn to its song. Nazkrecki at Harvard University studies the mind-boggling variety of insects. They and the other invertebrates, crustaceans, worms, shellfish, spiders, and the like, outnumber those of us with backbones by a long shot. But the forests and shorelines and grasslands where they live are being paved and plowed. Scientists are racing to find and describe rare invertebrates before they disappear. Nazkrecki does his hunting with his ears.
It's such a great symphony of sounds. And part of the beauty of it is that once you acquire this knowledge of species diversity of a particular place and you start recognizing them, you can actually pinpoint things that don't even have names yet. It's a really incredible thing to be able to know what you are listening to. In this recording of the ambient sound of Costa Rican rainforest, we hear at least 5 different species of crickets, plus the tink frog, this little tinking sound in the background that's a tiny little frog. And of the crickets that we hear, probably 2 or 3 are still undescribed.
Nazkrecki is writing a computer program with insect sounds to share his skills. He was one of many scientists who gathered last week at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City to marshal their forces and decide what to do. The mood was downbeat. Invertebrates are not furry. They don't eat out of your hand. They're parasites. They bite and sting. But their disappearance would fundamentally change the planet.
The rise of slime is the future of the ocean.
The slimy, says Jeremy Jackson, take over when coral reefs die. Jackson studies reefs at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in California.
In many parts of the world, the only fish that are caught are jellyfish. They taste crunchy, by the way.
Jackson says ocean warming and pollution are killing the polyps and algae that keep reefs alive. Then the fish that feed on the reef die, then the bigger fish that feed on those fish die. Jackson complains that policymakers aren't interested.
Science has been branded as advocacy. Facts have become dirty words, and that's the reality of the society in which we think about invertebrate conservation.
I think some people are getting mad.
David Grimaldi is curator of invertebrates at the museum.
I think that there's a general sense of outrage now among conservationists that enough is enough. We actually have to start preserving things. The situation has gotten so dire. I think scientists, you'll see, will become increasingly more reactionary and radical about policy.
Grimaldi presides over a collection of about 20 million invertebrate specimens, mostly kept in cabinets on the upper floors of the museum. The cabinets fill huge rooms. There's a musty smell, like old books. In the cabinets are drawers full of iridescent butterflies or spiders the size of mice. Grimaldi pulls one open, and under glass, each fixed with a single pin, are dozens of dried beetles. Beetles with remarkable behavior.
Large 1 to 2 inch beetles. Some of them are very strikingly colored black and orange, black and yellow. And they actually have parental care. They actually take care of the larvae.
Called Necrophorus americanus, these beetles used to be common in eastern North America. They consume dead animals. Now they are extremely rare.
It's quite big. It's a striking beetle. I remember as a kid finding these things. have my collections in the basement, jars of specimens and snakes that I bring back, and skulls, rocks, fossils, and insects.
Invertebrates pollinate plants. They eat up leaf litter, filter sediment out of water, yet they make up only 1/5 of the animals protected by the Endangered Species Act. Grimaldi says most insects get little, if any, sympathy from the public.
People are kind of hesitant to list an insect like a tick or a louse, even though there are many that are endangered or recently extinct. That's very, very controversial.
Grimaldi says scientists have learned just how hard it can be to preserve the ugly and unwanted. He opens a cabinet and pulls out a drawer full of big, hairy flies.
There are actually some flies that are officially listed as endangered, threatened, extinct. And the one that created probably the most hullabaloo was a large fly with a long proboscis.
The Delhi sand's flower-loving fly, to be exact. It's rare and found only in sand dunes in Southern California. Jim Bartel and others at the Fish and Wildlife Service tried to get it protected under the Endangered Species Act.
The fly is still largely not loved. In fact, some people, you'd almost use the word hate the critter.
Bartel says at government meetings on this fly, some folks brought fly swatters. The fly did make it onto the endangered species list, though, the first fly to do so. But Bartel says it was a hard-fought battle. Many people thought it was a waste of money and effort to protect a fly. Officials had a far easier time protecting a pretty checkered butterfly from the same region. Bartel says the lesson is that when it comes to conserving the least attractive invertebrates, you can't just focus on the animal.
And I think tying these species, invertebrates, in with the larger fabric of the landscape and what people can see the value in more readily is the answer.
Save the pretty places and animals, he says, and you can sneak in the spineless critters that live near them as well. At the end of the day, many scientists at the New York meeting had to agree that that was the ugly truth. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Pictures of some of the insect world's finest are at npr.org.